Hey, this is Badass Billy Gunn of the WWE, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Listen and feel the pain.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Right. Welcome to the Pain Clinic for November 6th. Holidays today. There's a few of them. You got to hold on. Hold out for a second. It's Book Lovers Day, Marooned Without a Compass Day, National Bison Day, National Nacho Day, more like up my alley, Pumpkin Destruction Day. And obviously, that's the first Saturday after Halloween. And it's saxophone day. Saxophone. It's saxophone day. Pain Clinic's brought to you by, oh, it's some birthdays today. Former NWA TNA champ, NWA as well as TNA champ. Nick Aldis is 35. Young guy. I figured he'd be older, but he's not. Nick Aldis is 35 today. Still got a lot of career ahead of him. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, Stone's Delight, Empire at Culver. Come on out tonight to UFC 268 at Salvatore's at the garage door. As always, no cover charge. Door prelims at 8. Pay-per-view starts at 10. We got Colby Covington in the main event against Usman. It's going to be a barn burner, as they say, for UFC or WWE or anything. Impact Wrestling, AEW. So come on out. There's always, as always, no cover charge. I'm going to try to get out to this one. I got to do a hockey game tonight, but when I'm done with a hockey game, I might go straight to Salvatore's and watch these two brutes destroy each other in the octagon. Also, hey, interested in roller derby? Want to be a skater, officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. Welcome to the show today. I'm your humble host, the Cash Man. I am here with DC Dan Cole from North Carolina. DC, how goes the North Carolina?
Yeah, could you guys take your cold air back? I don't like waking up to frost, okay?
Oh, man.
And fun fact for you, Cash, I used to play the saxophone.
Did you? So both my kids did. So we used to have the...
And check this out.
Ta-da! Very cool. See, I'm sorry, Rob. And I'm bummed because I should have that behind me, too, and I'm just a loser. But nevertheless... We'll all have those sometime, you know, soon. That's very cool. Maybe we should sell them. No. We don't need that headache, do we? Not yet, at least. No, Rob doesn't need that headache.
I mean, I'll count that as my introduction. Good morning. I mean, certainly could. There's been a lot of other ones shipped out this week. I thought we weren't debuting them this morning, so I have a different one that I made behind me. But... maybe I'll just magically switch it over here in a minute. So
nice. Okay, so that was Rob Sanderson from Rochester.
And then I can hold up. This one would be behind Rich. This one would be behind Danger and Furby.
Yep. Oh, man. Yeah, and it will be. And because I'm brainless, I completely forgot last night. Nevertheless, Rob is from Rochester. Danger Boy out in Gates. Danger, how you doing this morning?
Doing quite well. I can't really add anything. I don't have a fancy flag to show off this week. Someone forgot to pick them up last night.
Gotcha. I know I'm a dummy. And Furby from Hilton. What's up, Furbs?
Not much. Good morning, everybody.
You got
a little sleepy today.
You got the biggest cranium of all of us on the squares of knowledge of wrestling here, because it's only because you're closer. Because if I got closer,
yeah.
Oh, we're playing this game?
Yeah.
I'm good.
Okay. Thank you. We got a few people in the chat room too right now. And if you guys have any questions, please ask. We got, you know, we got a lot to do. There's a lot of wrestling to talk about. You know, it's funny.
Real quick. Yeah. Because this is so important. Following up on what DC said.
Yeah.
I also played saxophone.
Wow.
One of my best friends, at the end of sixth grade, I signed his yearbook saying, keep playing sax. He continued to play like all through high school. I quit the next year, but at least he followed what I said for him.
Well, I had, like I said, both my kids played the alto sax. And so I would go saxophone and they would play it. And then we'd have like a three man, they would play and I would sing, and it just never really worked out. Hey, good morning, Dante out there in the chat room, as well as Richard and Jason and Michael. These guys are all, you know, they're all showing up. And if you got, and Pat, if you guys have any questions, you can ask them anytime, but we got a lot of stuff to talk about. Did I get everybody? Okay. That's everybody. It means it's time we got to jump into what we're here to talk about. And like I was about to say, every week I think sometimes, well, maybe this will be a calm week where we're not going to have to, you know, talk about nothing, or maybe we'll just be able to talk about news and little things. And then another thing is it feels like every week we're beating up on the WWE, and it's like, well, guys, if you don't like us beating up on the WWE, then you might want to tune out for the next 45 minutes or so. and someone's got to take the devil's advocate position there, Danger, or somebody who, like, you know, will justify.
Why are you looking at? I mean, I can. I'll argue it, but
it's like,
why does it automatically jump to me?
I don't know.
I mean, I feel like you're the only one that's ever sided with them on anything in 2021 on the show. So,
listen, I like
nose goes.
I like Bron Breakker. I'm sorry.
Well, he didn't get cut, so that's a good thing. So that's what we're going to start out talking about WWE. If you hadn't heard, it started at, what was it, Thursday night. All of a sudden, people started getting cut left and right, especially right after they did a third quarter conference call. In fact, one of the ladies from the third quarter conference call who was taking questions got cut. So I bet you she didn't have a clue that was coming. But nevertheless, we had 18 wrestlers get cut. And I know you guys out there who are in the mass message room know probably most of these, but not all of you do. But we've got a nice list here of them. And it's like, I'll go through the list real quick, and then maybe we can talk about, you know, I mean, we got try to rationalize Danger, why the WWE did this. So this is who was cut. There was a huge cut this past Thursday night. We'll start with Frankie Monet, Scarlett Bordeaux, Ember Moon, Oni Lorcan, Nia Jax. That was a shocker. That was one. Eva Marie, Harry Smith, who we'll talk about as well. Karrion Kross, Keith Lee, Hit Row's B-Fish, which Hit Row was on.
B-Fab.
Sorry, B-Fab. Sorry.
B-Fab.
You know,
Bobby Fish got cut last time.
Yeah, you know, Hit Row was on last night too. They were on, which killed me. They were on TV last night, except for the guy who's got cut. So, Lince Dorado, Grand Metalik, Jesse Kamea, Trey Baxter, Zeta Raymer, Christina Cortez, Jeet Rama, Mia Yim again. I think Mia Yim's been cut a few times and brought back. But where's Keith Lee on the list? Sorry, I already mentioned Keith Lee. So we had like then there was like office people, a bunch of office people, including a former 24/7 champion who won it in a press and during a guy, his name was Mike Giacchio. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it was during a town hall WWE meeting where he pinned R-Truth and won it and then lost it. I think in the next room, they had another meeting. But nevertheless, a handful of people cut. This, you know, big, I mean, I don't know. The ones that stand out the most to me were like Keith Lee, Karrion Kross. I mean, guys that they were making a feeble attempt at trying to change what they, you know, how they got over, you know, and make them WWE get overs. And, but man, what are you guys' thoughts on this? I mean, they come out and with a press conference on Thursday, and the press conference says, hey, we did really good. We made money. We did all this stuff. And then it's like, oh yeah. And then later that day, boom, 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 boom. I guess I guess NXT got an NXT memo to the all the ones who were cut from NXT, and WWE got one, and it said different things in it. Like in the WWE, you know, they always send, you know, we wish you future good endeavors or whatever, and they didn't mention it at all to the NXT wrestlers that were cut in their memo that went to them. But let's talk around. What do you guys? I mean, they're not financially strapped. They just came back from blood money from Saudi Arabia. They're doing pretty good. But then, you know, I mean, is it like, are they like cutting bait on like Keith Lee, Nia Jax, just people who had problems? And there is some vaccination relativity about what some of these too. So, and I'm not sure exactly who or what, but they were saying that non-vaccinated wrestlers were also getting cut. So some of those may have been non-vaccinated. Okay, let's start with Danny. What do you think?
Well, I certainly can't buy the narrative that they're strapped for cash. When you announced in quarter three, you had revenue exceeding $250 million. And quarter three, 2021 over 2020, you had gains of around $40 million. So yeah, to say that, you know, for budget reasons, you're cutting a lot of talent is, I'm sorry, that's totally bogus. You know, some of the names, it's not a surprise, but to continually see what could be considered top tier talent in any promotion just be totally squandered in WWE. Like, I don't know when it's going to stop being surprising to me, but you know, especially with Keith Lee, how do you not know how to utilize Keith Lee? Seriously. And this is why I can't support WWE anymore. Like I can't tell you the last time I watched. I'll read the reports. I know what's going on, but I can't give them any kind of financial support. They don't need it, and they don't deserve it from me.
Okay. Anyone else want to jump in there? I will say, there's. The first thing I when we were going through the list, and I'll admit this, I thought there was a couple salvageable people in there that WWE didn't completely ruin yet. But what I ruin mean is like when you take someone like Karrion Kross, who comes in as just a badass dude who finally gets converted into a gladiator when he debuts on Monday Night Raw with a helmet and studded freaking suspenders, you know. So I mean, you know, it's like I just don't get it. I mean, yeah, I could see them cutting. You know, cut, you know, like for instance, Ember Moon. Ember Moon had like a serious injury, which they thought she was never going to come back from, and she tried and tried and tried and tried to come back. They even like moved her to TV, trying to utilize other things while that she was trying to come back. And she was wrestling, but I think she had the floating foot thing issue. I'm not sure exactly. I know it was something that was pretty serious.
She only tore her Achilles. She was fine when she came back. I mean, she was rusty and sloppy and had lost a step.
Yeah.
But she doesn't have any injury issues currently. She was doing her thing in NXT, and they just decided to cut bait, which I'm not surprised because they weren't really using her even in NXT. So...
Yeah, after they took they split up her and Shotzi. I mean, I don't really even remember Ember being on TV much after that.
No, not once at least. I mean, yeah, when Shotzi debuted on SmackDown with a new tag partner or an old tag partner, new tag partner. But what do you think, Ferbs? Man, what do you think? You know, I look at this list and I'm like, man, with that and what happened with Ring of Honor a week ago. Think about all that free agent talent that is floating out is going to be floating out there very soon. And
I mean, sorry, I jumped the gun there, but you look at the list, you see, 18 names, you feel bad for them all, and I do, but obviously not, again, WWE shot themselves in the foot when they signed all these people. Now they have such a large roster, you have as much TV time as they do, and still none of this talent is ever on TV really doing anything, or if they are, they're on there very quickly. So, I mean, the two biggest names, obviously, in my opinion, are Lee and Cross, Keith Lee and Karrion Kross. Even Nia Jax. I mean, I have my issues with Nia Jax. It sucks to say, but is she really that quality of a wrestler or that quality of a talent? I don't think so. Is she deserving to be cut? Probably not, but I'm not going to miss her on TV. I mean, but the, like the bottom seven people on this list, honestly, I don't care if they're ever on TV again. So the one that kind of baffled me though was B-Fab. Now, she's not a great wrestler, so I don't really care, but she could have been a very good manager for the Hit Row. And if you're trying to get the Hit Row over on SmackDown, you need someone like that. Now, I don't know. I don't agree with any of the cuts. I mean, Harry Smith didn't even make it to TV after he got, you know, Davey Boy Jr. He never even made it to TV after he came back. He had one dark match, I think, and that was it. So, I mean, it's depressing for sure, but a lot of this talent's going to get opportunity to shine elsewhere. Why was Scarlett ever taken away from Karrion? You know, just things that nonsensical stuff that WWE does that we'll never know really why, because they continue to do it. So I don't know why we think it's going to change, but yeah.
How about you, Rob? Thoughts on this?
I am so. Is this working? It says I'm muted. I don't think I am.
No, you're young.
What else is there to say at this point? Like, it's exhausting. Like, yeah, I want to take shots at WWE because I'm so sick of this, but like, they fired over 100 people in the last like year or so, or year and a half. I get that, like, whoever it was that you want to blame made the mistake of hoarding talent, and now they're still cleaning that up. The problem is they continued to sign more people after they got to the point of cutting all these people. So I can't even really see that as a valid excuse at this point, because you're still going out and signing people who then you're giving no chance to, who are uprooting their lives, moving across the country and moving across the world, signing a lease in Orlando, and then they get cut 4, 5, 6 months later or a year later. It's not fair. It's stupid. It's like you're basically giving somebody like hope of their dream and then taking it away. And I understand like some of these people probably liked that they at least got some kind of a chance over nothing. But what was the point? Did they give Blake Christian a real chance? Did they give Harry Smith a chance when he came back? All of these people, it's a waste of people's time. A lot of these people had their families move with them to Orlando, their kids switch schools, all of this stuff. For what? Quitting their old day jobs that now they might not be able to go back to. What was the real motivation? Like, I would love for WWE to come out and be like, yeah, we did this basically so AEW couldn't get anybody. Because now that's really like coming back to bite them. And I just, hopefully they understand at this point with the amount of people they cut, how terrible they look as a company, that this needs to stop. But regardless of that, even if you have to cut people after, you know, hours after you're announcing like record earnings again, don't do it on the same day. Oh, budget cuts. First of all, if it's not really budget cuts on some of them, don't be trying to think of a way to word this. Come out and say it. Like, say the real reason why you're firing these people. Don't hide behind budget cuts an hour after you announced that you made $18 gajillion in the past week, or $250,000 in the past quarter, whatever it is. Like, it's insane. There's no backing this up. And they're a garbage company, period.
Okay, Danger, time to defend.
Before I defend, I agree on certain things. You just brought B-Fab up. You just had her sign a main roster contract 2 weeks ago, and you cut her. And then you ruin Hit Row's music by taking her out of it. It's just terrible. You do things like squander your prototypical person in Karrion Kross. You strip him of everything they got him over and then go, why is he not getting over?
Could it be the helmet? I don't know.
Ask him what he thinks about the helmet.
Yeah.
He's very open about it.
Yeah. Not a big fan, you know?
So everyone talks about what the motivation is. And every time they do these major cuts like this and start calling it budget cuts or anything like that, it all leads back to one thing. You're announcing record profits and trimming your budget. You're setting yourself up for sale. There was a comment in the chat room about how WWE should go to the Disney Channel because they're the Mickey Mouse company.
They may.
I would not be surprised if in somewhere in the next 5 to 6 years, they are owned by the Mickey Mouse company and Thanos Mouse, you know, plops that last ring in there and takes over all of entertainment type deal.
Then they, Roman Reigns in his glove, you know?
Yes. There's no just like, it's corporate America. Every corporation in America is doing these stupid cuts and trying to make themselves as lean as possible. And they really don't care about their human capital. And that's what WWE is doing. It's just very public. They're doing it. And they're not very smart on releasing people on the days, you know, they announce they're making all this money. It's not the best way to do things, but they're going lean. They had a bloated roster. And quite honestly, I'm kind of happy about some of these cuts because I want to see Keith Lee succeed. I want to see Keith Lee be able to do what he does. I want to see Mia Yim be able to do what she does. I want to see the people I like wrestling do the wrestling I want to see them do, and they're not going to do it in WWE. They were able to do it in NXT. Keith Lee came out a couple weeks ago with an interview and said that Triple H tried to keep him in NXT as long as possible. You know why? Triple H knows what happens when you go up to the main roster.
True.
It's not the same.
True. Well, we got a few comments. Dante agrees with you completely, Rob, about the garbage company. And there's a few people are doing messages. They say, but you know, one thing I mentioned briefly, but didn't get too specific, was they did say that this may have had something to do with vaccinations as well. And they didn't specifically say, and you really can't, cause like that's a hip.
The one name that has been linked 100% to, not to 100% to vaccinations, but with vaccination being a contributing factor, is Nia Jax.
Okay.
And she came out and didn't mention anything about the vaccination in her statement, but she's been off TV on a mental health break, asked to have it extended, never heard anything back, and gets cut a couple days later.
Yeah. So
that looks like another one of those things where they won't just come out and say the real reason. Because they're hiding behind whatever they want. It's easy enough for them to just say, oh, budget cuts, and not tell Nia, well, actually, you're not vaccinated and we can't bring you on any of our international dates or anything. So, like, just be honest with people. But, you know, they have such a great history of being honest.
And that's a weird thing is they were in England. They had a UK tour this past week. And, you know, and all the people that cut weren't on tour. That's for sure. You know, but. And honestly, and Nia Jax is a handful, you know, maybe they were just getting tired of it but it's like, you know, she was a surprise. I mean, now the question is, you know, there's some good talent out there that was relinked, which does this motivate certain people? Is carrying, I mean, I don't know, you know, can we fix people that they, you know, carrying cross helmeted and, you know, suspenders. I mean, you know, I think so. Karrion Kross had a great, you know, very short but great run at Impact Wrestling before he came over to NXT.
And yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes right back there.
Yeah, and yeah. He was over, and I mean, and he, like I was telling other people, I've said this before on the show, I think that the guy reminds me so much of Stone Cold Steve Austin, just physically wise, you know, the looks. You know, he from the start was messed up. He lost his first match to Jeff Hardy. I was questioning that from the beginning.
They be at a point where they're releasing him if they had not been stupid and just brought Scarlett up to the main roster with him?
Yeah.
Or is that part of the fault there, whoever made that genius decision?
There's more to it. I mean, I can't wait till this non-compete's over because I want to hear why would they split them up and why would they accept it, and they were a perfect match, and NXT was a blink for them. They were there long enough to win the title, you know, I mean, and come out to that incredible entrance, you know, once or twice before he was moved up, you know. But it was like,
why did you dress him up from a line of clothing from the Vince McMahon Dark Fantasy collection,
like the S&M Vince McMahon S&M collection? It's leftover stuff from when he had the demolition. Okay, it's like, okay, we got the studded underpants. Okay, what are we gonna do next? I know. How about the suspenders? Yeah. You know, we get them from Chavo Guerrero, right? Or somebody had wore suspenders. You know, we'll put studs on them. They'll make it, you know, make them tougher. Then a mask. Yeah. What about that mask? I don't know. I have no idea what their rationale was. He should have come up. And you know, it's one of the beefs that we've had. You know, we were talking about Bobby Lashley and how he was so over in Impact Wrestling, and then he came to WWE and he kind of floundered until they allowed him to start doing what he was doing back at Impact.
And I mean, you know, that's the thing is they got to change everything. They've got to, you know, you can't use the thing that got them over for some other company. Got to do something else. So it's like, but man, who's salvageable? Is Keith Lee salvageable? I think he is. He's young, and I don't think that they ruined him bad. I mean, he had that time off where maybe people forgot about him, but if he showed up all of a sudden on Impact or AEW, I think he would work with AEW too, just because there's, you know, they didn't ruin him to the point where putting him in a mask and suspenders and whatnot and just making him like a joke. But do you guys think anybody in that list maybe is beyond redemption?
I mean, I think any one of these people are salvageable, honestly. Yeah. I mean, all these people, I mean, especially the bigger names like Keith Lee, Karrion Kross, I mean, Frankie Monet. I mean,
yeah, Frankie barely got a chance. I'm just curious about that one. I mean, her husband works for you, you know? It's like.
Yeah. And it doesn't help, too, hearing the rumors about potentially why some women were let go because of a new direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. WWE wants shorter referees and younger women. So,
yeah, you
know, great job.
They want to attract younger males to their product on NXT. Well, we see how the ratings are doing on NXT. So, obviously, that's not doing too
well. I have an idea. Anyway, keep Scarlett off TV.
WWE realizes that if you want to look at women, there's other products out there, right?
Yeah. Keep Scarlett off TV because we don't want good-looking women on there. Is that what they were thinking?
Yeah. You know, where does that make any sense, you know? No, I think all these people are salvageable because here's the thing. The fans weren't happy with what they were doing to begin with. We all know what they can do. We all want to see what they can do, and we weren't seeing it. So if they go somewhere else and they do what we want to see, we'll be happy, and then they'll be over again. I mean, it's just that WWE does not allow anyone to do what they can do.
Oh, you're right. Dante says the Raw version of Karrion Kross was the Wish.com version of Demolition.
And Demolition was the Wish.com version of
the Road Warriors. Yeah, or the Legion of Doom, the Road Warriors. So, you know, it's you know, I just, you know, I figured out there's a few people that really stood out in that list that I think could be hired. Even, to be honest with you, even Nia Jax. And Nia Jax is like, what, cousins with a Rock? Is that what it is? And so a lot of people were shocked that someone this close, and the Rock is supposed to be main eventing WrestleMania next year. So,
2 years.
Oh, 2 years? Not next year?
No.
So I'm gonna say this. There's two people on this list that I think may never wrestle anywhere again unless they were to come back to WWE, and I think that's Nia Jax and Eva Marie.
Yeah. Well, Eva Marie, did she really wrestle anyways ever?
Well, no, but I'm saying she's not gonna. I mean, I'm sorry, but she's not gonna get a job in any other wrestling company, and I don't think Nia Jax is either. Her history with how unsafe of a worker she is. Who the heck's gonna want to sign her when she's gonna just hurt all your talent? I mean, that had to play a factor in some of these cuts other than the attitude stuff and everything else that was going on. But, yeah, I mean,
Some of these people, I kind of don't even buy that they – this isn't fair for me to say this, but I'm still going to. Some of the people that get cut that, like, got rushed into the WWE system, like, I question how much they really want to work outside of WWE after they've been cut. Like – does Braun Strowman really care about working anywhere? Does Nia Jax going to take a contract with Impact or whatever? Like, I don't know. I look at this list and there's only 3, 4, 6 names maybe that I would care about AEW even looking into. I hate to say that, but like, I feel bad for all these people losing their jobs or whatever, but there's a lot of people on this list that like, I don't want AEW to go out and sign these 16 people. Like they're already overloaded.
Yeah.
And yeah. Impact's pretty full too and stuff. But the problem is, I mean, WWE keeps putting people through their system who did not work the indies or anywhere else, who then they're turning around and releasing. And like, how many of those people are these other companies really going to look at? Those aren't the people that are going to get all these jobs after the fact.
Yeah. And another confusing name on there. And it's kind of like what Rob hinted at earlier when he said like they were doing the first line of cuts, but then they kept signing people. Probably not one of the most well-known names, but Trey Baxter, Blake Christian, very good independent wrestler. He's already signed dates back with GCW. And that's where I, you know, first found him. But anyway,
why did they sign him in the first place though?
Right.
Like we know he's a great wrestler. We've seen so many good matches, but who signed him and then decided to release? Like, where did this come from?
Well, it's
he was there for 4 months.
It was the same issue with Alex Zane too. I mean,
yeah.
And now he's gone already. Now, Now, same thing with Trey Baxter, Blake Christian, whatever you want to call him now. But he's very, very talented. He could go somewhere and do very well. You know, I think he's similar to a Dante Martin, in all honesty. But he wasn't really given the light of day in WWE. Did he ever really fit their style? No. But the moment that they started getting rid of basically all their cruiserweights and then taking just all the other people that are on NXT that technically are cruiserweights and utilizing them more, I knew he was eventually going to be a casualty. And I'm surprised he made it as long as he did on the roster, not because of his talent, but just the way that WWE's philosophy is. So just keep an eye out for him. Blake Christian, very talented. And I think we'll probably see him on TV somewhere soon. If not on AEW, at least on some of the dark tapings. He'll get dates, I think.
What's going to be annoying is all the people that are going to be like, oh, AEW went and got some more WWE scraps. They can't find their own people. They got to get all these people that came from WWE or whatever. Because all of these people end up going to WWE for like 4 months and they got signed for who knows what reason, and now they're going to count as like an ex-WWE guy. Like when Blake Christian goes and does great things in another company, WWE gets zero credit for it. I'm sorry, he's not an ex-WWE guy.
No,
let's just forget that those few months even happened.
Do you want to go back about 2 years just for a second and remember when WWE was signing everybody to long-term contracts, even if they weren't putting them on TV, people who were, you know, worked for WWE, they were trying to give them more money and let them stay at home for more money. You know, I mean, this is definitely a 360 from what that was, you know, or 180.
Well, it's a different leadership. Nick Khan's a different person than who was running it when they were signing everybody up, trying to stop AEW from ever being competition. It's Nick Khan goes, screw it. We're just going to run with what we have and we're going to keep cutting people. And like, they're not signing up everybody anymore. Some of the signings they're making are back to what they used to do, where they'd sign people who they could just mold from clay. That's what they did with a lot of people. And
that's what NXT kind of feels like now. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what's going to disgust me the most, is if Tuesday we see a press release come out like, oh, WWE has signed these 10 prospects to developmental. No. Like there should be almost like some kind of athletic commission. It's like, no, you're not allowed to hire anybody else. Because look at how many of these other lives you've basically uprooted and kind of ruined,
yeah,
or whatever. How many careers, how many false hopes you've given or whatever. Like, please don't sign anybody for another X amount of months, WWE, because you shouldn't. Yeah. And if I'm a top independent wrestler at this point, yeah, almost all of them have the dreams of going to WWE. That's why they got into it and stuff. But more than ever, you're thinking, this is not maybe the best decision for my career. There are other options, and look at their track record now over the past 2 years.
I know. Well, when we were seeing these cuts, I said maybe it's a good time to start another company. Man, we just got to find an investor, you know, some billionaire who would like to start a wrestling company, because there's enough talent out there floating around now with the Ring of Honor's, you know, being released and up soon, as well as a lot of these folks. You know, we could start a pretty good company, but it's a shame that and that's one thing that I kind of floated past everybody the other day. I thought maybe WWE is doing this to make AEW look bad by not signing everybody, because they in the past, the few of the castoffs that were big names, they signed immediately. But you know, but you're right. Like Grand Metalik and Lince Dorado. I mean, you know, Lucha House Party or whatever.
Well, they asked for their release. So at least,
they?
I was gonna say, they've been asking for the release for months, and finally they got it.
Yeah. So good for them. They can go home and do whatever. But there's still, I think there's a lot of potential. I'm not gonna say groundbreaking or company driving, but man, there's some talent in here that, you know, you could build a company around. You know, Karrion Kross, I mean, in Raw's form, you know, like when he was in NXT, he was definitely a guy worth taking a shot at, you know, maybe, you know, pushing him to the moon. But man, that they just lost direction with him as soon as he came. I mean, what can you imagine them pitching him all that stuff that they've added to, you know, we're going to wear these gladiator floppy flop shorts now. What do you think about that? And was he going to say no? If I say no, you're going to take me off of TV. You know, he probably should have said no, because he wasn't on TV very long. And
that's part of the problem overall with their creative and everything at this point, though, is that you've got people are, for the most part, scared to say no. And I'm not necessarily blaming them for that when you're going up a big corporate America company like World Wrestling Entertainment and you want to keep your spot and you don't want to upset people or whatever. But some of the biggest stars of all time only became some of the biggest stars because they were okay saying no. They were okay saying, I don't like that, let's try this, or pushing the envelope or whatever. But clearly the people who are making these decisions and pitching these ideas are so out of touch that the more that wrestlers continue to go along with these ideas, the more they're going to permanently destroy their careers. Nobody's ever going to forget about Karrion Kross wearing that stupid helmet. And I'm sure he didn't want to. And other people said no to that before, that exact outfit. And I don't want to blame, you know, Karrion Kross, Killer Kross, whatever, for that. But at the same time, like, I don't know, maybe there needs to be more. Obviously, we don't have a union in wrestling or anything like that. That's kind of a different topic. But this whole, like, following the ideas of these dumb people in charge of creative who don't know what they're doing. And here we are.
Yeah, you know, you're right. You're right. Vince McMahon has hired a bunch of TV writers and they pitch these ideas. And it's like, did you follow these guys when they were, you know, before they came to the WWE or even, you know, as they were in NXT? And why do you have to have a completely different character debut on, you know, on a show that they were on NXT as these badass characters that was on an even platform with Raw and SmackDown being on a network channel? And then you move them just one channel over, you know, a different night, and you feel you got to change them 100% from what the people, you know, I don't know. It's very frustrating. And I'm sure Karrion Kross, you know, as soon as he can talk, he will, because I mean, we've seen kind of how he felt about the helmet.
They ruined Kross before the helmet. The moment they took Scarlett away, nobody cared about him.
True. And she gorgeous. Well,
they took Scarlett. They took his entrance. They did.
Yeah.
All that stuff. And then had him lose the first match.
Yeah, so it's, you know, I think if I could pick a couple of these guys that I would sign, I definitely, it would without a doubt, Keith Lee, Karrion Kross, Scarlett Bordeaux, you know, just those three, because you'd have to have Scarlett Bordeaux with Karrion Kross, I think, and you could still do that as his valet, you know, and just, you know, just a great combination out there.
I feel like that's kind of a good question. Like, if you're Tony Khan, like, which, if you could only pick, let's say, four people from this list, who are the four that you pick?
Well, I know three of mine. I'd probably take Frankie Monet too, just because Frankie had this long run in Impact and did everything, the goofy stuff, you know, when they had wrestling camp or whatever last year. She did everything, and definitely the three I mentioned earlier, you know, maybe Harry Smith too. We didn't really had a chance to see Harry.
I'm going Ember Moon, Harry Smith, Keith Lee, Mia Yim. And obviously there's a couple others I'd be interested in as well, but Kross and Scarlett would not make my top four. That's just me.
I would probably go something similar to Cash. I'd go Karrion, Scarlett, Keith Lee, probably Frankie Monet. Harry Smith would be, you know, probably my alternate there.
Danger, you have some thoughts on that?
I'd go a very similar list to yours, but I will say for anyone still in WWE, if they want to pair you with Robert Stone, do not do it. You will not have a job within like 6 months.
Yeah, how the heck did he stay?
I mean,
Jackson Ryker is still under contract too, so.
Well, maybe he
must have been Robert Stone singing on Tuesday night that kept him his job.
Yeah, no, I think he's a bookkeeper too or something. Who knows, you know? DC?
I don't know even what to say anymore, Cash. I mean, it's, you know, as much as I find it easy to hate on WWE, like, it's been such a huge part of my life for so long. It's upsetting to see what it's turned into. Like, and, you know, going back to the whole, don't tell me budget cuts, because honestly, let's look at how much money did you cut with these 18 people? Because I guarantee you it's not a lot. It's not going to trim your margins that much. The problem isn't the talent. The problem hasn't been the talent for years. The problem has been stale and disconnected from reality creative. But then again, I mean, that's the whole direction the company is taking. They don't care about long-term storylines. They know they have a built-in audience that no matter what they do, they're going to keep watching the product. So why put in the effort? It's proven that even with the mediocre ratings they're bringing in now, they're still a, clearly still a financially viable company that has value to networks and shareholders. They don't have incentive right now. Even with the competition AEW is providing, they're fine staying in their lane.
Yeah, no, what do you think? If you had to sign a few of these, who would jump out at you on this list?
I mean, no offense to Karrion Kross, he never did anything for me. So, I mean, I feel like a program with him and Moose, though, back over in Impact, I'd watch that. Honestly, one of the guys I was always a fan of because call me crazy, I enjoy wrestling. I always enjoyed the hell out of watching Oney Lorcan.
Yeah.
I would love to see him somewhere.
Good hand.
I loved watching him in the ring.
Yeah.
His match with Drew McIntyre when Drew McIntyre first came back to NXT was a barn burner.
Yeah, he's a good hand. That's really what you need. I mean, he picked up and moved to the United States, so it's like it's just some tough, you know. And the funny is, I watched SmackDown last night, and they debuted a new woman wrestler, Aaliyah. I don't know if you saw that.
Whoever had the idea to bring Eva Marie back, like, do they think it was worth it, and they got what they wanted out of it?
Well, that's even worse. They brought That's even worse. They brought Eva Marie back after they cut a bunch of women. They started utilizing Eva on TV, and then now obviously she's back to where she was before.
Well, they knew.
Don't worry, Dewdrop got the big rub from her.
And the thing that sucks, like, just to follow up, like, not to beat a dead horse, but what DC's saying about, like, you've put so much time into it and stuff, like, I feel the same way, to the point where, like, I watched everything WWE did for decades, and quite honestly, at this point, like, as we talked about, I watch very minimal WWE programming compared to the last few decades. It would be at zero if it wasn't for this show, honestly. And the fact that, like, I have some roommates that watch WWE, so, like, usually we'll watch pay-per-views because why not? But, like, there were so many years where I was just like, man, WWE sucks now, but I still watch it. This is my tradition. Every Monday night, like, I'm doing this, whatever. And then, like, I got out of that habit. Like, when I was living in Texas, I was like, I don't need to watch Raw tonight. Like, I've got other stuff to do. And it's just gotten progressively worse to the point where, like,
yeah,
I'm fine if I don't watch it anymore. And it sucks because they have some people that I really, really like under contract.
It didn't hurt having...
How many more chances do they deserve?
It didn't hurt having friends there to you. You know, I mean, that really... That made us watch a little bit closer, I think, if anything, you know?
That made a big difference for sure.
Yeah.
And at this point, like, the connections that I would have with people that are there are less and less, and going to be even less in the next few months and stuff. And like, I just don't like the product's not geared for necessarily all of us here in these chat windows right now. Like, that's the way it is. Like, when I was a kid, WWF in 94, my favorite year, was a lot of cartoon characters and stuff. And I was like 8 years old and I loved it because it was kind of geared for me. And then I was like becoming a teenager and it was like pushing the envelope of the Attitude Era, also kind of perfect timing, like kind of like teenager watching South Park and things they shouldn't watch or whatever, but like enjoying it.
Now
we're back to the point where it's like, this is kind of for kids in a lot of ways and stuff. And like, I'm not the people that they're marketing for and stuff. And it's fine. Like, that is what it is. I just, like, it took me a long time, the last 10 plus years, when I haven't really enjoyed most of the product, but I like stuff here and there, and I decided to keep following the product. And then these last couple of years, I'm like, all right, well, I'll still watch here and there, but I'm not keeping up with everything. There's too much content. There's other stuff out there that I like better. And again, right now, I'm literally at the point where, like, I finally, after all these years of being a disgruntled fan or whatever, I don't care anymore. Like, I can let it go and don't need it to be part of my life. I still like pro wrestling a lot, and I love watching AEW and a bunch of independents and Impact a good amount of the time and stuff like that. But like, I just don't need it. And I'm okay with it. I'm finally at the point where like, it is what it is. And like, I enjoyed all the moments that it gave me throughout my life to this point. But like, if I never watch another minute of WWE, I'm okay. And this is more examples of it this week where I just don't think they're a good company. And I love how like people tell me like, oh, didn't you like as a kid, you always wanted to work for WWE. Like, why would you go out and say that stuff? No, because literally at this point, I would absolutely not want to work there. So like, I don't care. Like, I'll say that like, yeah. It's just not, it's not what it was. And yeah. It just sucks to see what's happening to it. And I fear that it's going to get even worse because that's what's been happening the last few years.
I'm guessing that when you were younger, it was more like being a rock star, you know, working for WWE, even if you were doing 80-hour weeks with them or whatnot, it was like a rock star. You're traveling from town to town. And yeah, no, I understand. It's like, and I mean, you really, you know, I would never get uprooted because they fire people two years later, you know, I mean, if you're more than willing to, you know, move and then have your job taken away from you, you know, then, you know, but yeah, I don't want to get
many people that are under contract. They're actually truly happy. Like they're proud of themselves for where they're at and they're maybe making a good living and all that stuff. But all these people don't sound happy with their jobs and their careers and stuff. I mean, look at just the few pages of John Moxley's book that I've read so far.
Like, oh my goodness. Yeah.
And you know, he's not the only one that either feels or has felt that way.
You know,
real quick, just a side note to the people watching us on Facebook in the chat room, the Aaliyah who's debuting on SmackDown
is
Rey Mysterio's daughter.
It's not Rey Mysterio's daughter. Yeah.
Person.
Yeah.
She's from Toronto.
Yeah. I was going to say, she looks like she's about 17 too, but you know, but yeah, she was part of Robert Stone with Chelsea Green, you know, that was the Aaliyah that we're seeing now. Yeah. So it was a different person altogether. But they did debut her after cutting everybody. It's like, you know, which is amazing.
Well, she's been called up for like 6 months and we just have never seen her.
It's interesting that, you know, that I went, you know, you go and you watch the show. I watched the show last night because I wanted to see what did these cuts affect on this show. And it was absolutely nothing. Nothing, and that means
it was Hit Row's music. Thank you.
Okay, well, it was Hit Row did not have their girl with them, B-Fab. But beyond that, Hit Row came out and mocked, you know, Sami Zayn there, you know, his entrance and whatnot. And but I'm just saying there wasn't. I don't think it really affected because they're stuck in the. You know, I mean, kind of something they're doing that I'm not really thrilled about is, you know, like they moved a bunch of people from one show to the other and they're doing the same thing with Drew McIntyre. He's not doing anything different, you know, that they brought him over there and he's still in a prominent position in that card. So it's like, I thought that they lost the people when they started going on the road again for him. And I still feel that they're losing that he's still not over with the people, but that's just my opinion. I just wonder how this is going to affect, you know, the storylines going forward. And I think, you know, one Bearcat, Keith Lee was starting to get those promos coming up and, you know, still hadn't seen him though. I mean, or briefly in the last couple months, but we'll see what happens, but I do want to, you know, someone mentioned something that I wanted to talk about a little bit there a second ago. What was it that you said, Dane? Oh, someone, it's one of the pieces of Moxley. Okay, so let's move a little bit to another topic. I'm sorry for beating up on WWE. Sorry if you're a WWE fan and you don't watch anything else, because there's a lot of people who don't watch anything else. You know, I remember when we first started the show. When we first started the show, it was like I was the WCW guy and everybody else was WWE. And it's like, and we would fight. Yeah, go ahead. And Danger
I was a WCW person. I grew up on WCW. I grew up from the NWA and watching the Super Show on TBS on the Superstation. And then that's what I grew up on. I grew up on Sting, not Bret Hart.
Yeah.
Sting actually used the Scorpion Deathlock first.
So people would call the show and like rip on us for liking WCW. They would always go, yeah, and this happened in WWE and WCW sucks, click. You know, and that's how it would go. Like every call we would take in the beginning, you know, it's like WCW sucks. And then Dr. Love goes, yeah, baby, WCW does suck, doesn't it? Yeah, yeah. They steal all their ideas from WWE. Yeah, yeah. Bret Hart was sent down there as an agent to take apart the company. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was like this.
Okay, Scott Hall.
It was like this for like 10, you know, 10 years. Everyone would call them mock us about WCW. And then when WCW disappeared, it's like WWE's boring now. you know, WWE's not doing, you know, there's no competition. And so we finally get competition and it's like, you know, so there, you know, it's like there's a lot of diehard WWE, especially being in Rochester, New York, where we are. WWE came here every year, multiple times every year. So that's all we got. You know, never, WCW never came up here until like they went, until they did the Monday Night Wars. Then they started coming up to Rochester. But beyond that, they never were here. And the only way we could see them was getting cable TV. But that being said, there's a lot of people in our fan, in our chat room who are WCW, got their blinders on to this day still, you know, think AEW sucks and whatnot, and it doesn't. But I want to move on to topic now. I'm sorry, we won't beat up WWE anymore, and I'm sorry WWE if you're listening. You know, listen. We want you to be better. That's all we're doing this for. We don't want to tear you down. We don't want to see you go out of business. We want you to do better. Do better for the business. Make this business proud, you know? Make people proud of this company, you know?
They'll do better in a couple of years when you hear, hey, I run this place now.
I was going to say, like, I don't disagree with that at all. Like, I totally agree with what you're saying. Like, I don't want them to be a bad company. Like, we've all invested like billions of hours of our lives watching this product and following it and talking about it on the radio and all that stuff. I just don't think at this point, like, it's okay to walk away or whatever. Like, what you said there about, like, you want them to do well, like, they're not going away. They're not going to go out of business. They can continue to make terrible decisions and they will still be there making tons of money and all that stuff. So from a business perspective, like, yeah, they're doing what they're doing, but like, it's okay to not like it too.
No, it is. But you do it with love in your heart. You want them to be better. You give them a chance to get you and, you know, do something that you like. You know, a lot of people,
took me a very long time to get to this point where I was like, all right, enough is enough. Like, you're not, like, I truly don't care anymore. Because like I said, for over a decade there, I really didn't care about a lot of stuff they were doing, but I still watched it, not religiously, but I watched most of it and stuff. And now it's at the point where I'm just like, all right, you've had your chance. And like, it's other people enjoy it and you're making tons of money and you're going to be in business forever and stuff. But there are alternatives out there that are not for everybody too. I understand, like, there's people that aren't going to want to watch, you know, 15, 20 minute matches on AEW with a lot less in terms of storylines and segments and stuff like that.
Or New Japan, which, you know, you don't know anything that's going on between these guys, and they come out and like have barn burners of full, you know, 100% action matches. The thing is stuff.
Like, whatever you do like in wrestling, there's a product out there right now, and there are more wrestlers than ever. And they're fighting for spots, because we're also seeing companies go out of business and stuff like that. There's a ton of talent out there. There's a ton of different companies that are so easy to watch compared to previous years in the history of wrestling. You can literally turn on the TV, you can turn on an app, whatever, and find something else. So if you don't like whatever you're watching, whether it's WWE or something else, try something else. You might like it.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong. And it's funny is when there only was WCW and WWE, we used to fight back and forth about it all the time. But that left a lot of room for ECW when ECW wasn't affiliated with anybody at the time, or at least we didn't know about Vince McMahon's money going to it. But ECW was that alternative, and there was only a few back then, you know, very few. Now there's so much more. You know, MLW's out there, you know, NWA Power is out there. You know, there's a lot of different, you know, there's all the all women's wrestling. We got the WOW coming back soon, and, you know.
I mean, just a quick Excite Wrestling in Binghamton has a big show tonight with Matt Cardona and a bunch of other people. It's free to watch on Twitch.
That's tonight, too.
Watch one of these GCW shows. I don't even want to say this, but like, there's a show tomorrow. Like, if you're missing extreme stuff or whatever, if that's up your alley, then go for it. You know, like, there's a lot of stuff out there. It doesn't have to be just WWE, or for people that love AEW, it doesn't have to be just AEW.
No, the cool thing about AEW too is that every once in a while you see one of their guys on one of these local shows too. So they still allow these guys to go out and do stuff. So I want to move on.
Impact too. I mean, that's basically everybody outside of WWE. It almost, this is not for real, but it almost makes me wish that we could do like a legitimate pro wrestling draft with these companies.
Sure.
And they could just put everybody in a pool and actually draft them for real to their own companies, but put every company there in the mix.
I think that, you know, obviously there'd be the high money people, but, you know, yeah, it'd split up the talent. That's for sure. Very interesting thought there. So let's, we've been beaten up on from WWE for about 50 minutes now, and not just beaten up. We just want them to improve. That's why I was using that as a transition to go into, let's talk about something else for a few seconds. Jon Moxley this past week. Jon Moxley was on tour for the last, 2 weeks promoting this brand new book called Mox, which you can buy now at Amazon. And out of the blue, I think it was Tuesday, all of a sudden there's a release by the owner or the, you know, of AEW saying Jon Moxley has been, he's in rehab, alcohol rehab. He's in a program, you know, an inpatient program, which means he was pretty serious. No, now you get back to thinking about those promos for the Rhodes, Dusty Rhodes, or a Cody Rhodes show where you had Jon Moxley going, "I'm so hungover now." Did you ever see those promos for that show? You know, and now it's like, wow. So maybe there was a problem there from the beginning. Mox was supposed to be wrestling against Orange Cassidy this past Wednesday, and but he is now an inpatient program for alcohol. We wish him the best. Punk addressed it. You know, it blew my mind that they allowed him to address it. Tony Khan is the one who came out and actually made the announcement, and his wife Renee also came out with a tweet as well. Love Mox, love what he's been doing. You know, I don't know if that, you know, if his alcoholism impacted what we were seeing on TV at all, I don't know. But obviously his personal life, yes. He's had a baby. They're moving to Ohio this week, and they're in the process of moving to Ohio. So I hope that's safely done. But what do you guys think? I mean, is that, you know, it's really weird that it just happened to have fall right in the middle of his book tour promoting a book, you know. I wonder, was it an incident? I'm not really sure. It just seems like it came out of the blue. But, you know, power to him to get healthy, get healed, and come back and be stronger. And I love what CM Punk said. CM Punk seems like always to be the judgmental kind of guy, you know, you think when you see his promos and stuff. But he actually came out and really was, you know, felt a heartfelt, you know, thing saying what he said. And what do you guys think? You know, is this good? I mean, does this affect what we see with this number one challenger tournament that's going on? I mean, obviously, Mox was pinned to win it. I'm not going to say he was going to, but we are going to get him versus Bryan Danielson on the next pay-per-view. And now we're getting Miro now versus, which I don't have a problem with, even though those guys have wrestled before in WWE. What, you know, Danger, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I'm glad that Mox is getting himself help that he needs. Punk was the perfect person to do that. And it's not just Punk's message wasn't just for if you have an issue with a substance or anything like that. It's also for mental health and all that kind of stuff. Punk's wife is a mental health awareness person. She's big into charities and getting awareness. So that's good. It definitely led to a change of plans. There had to be some kind of reason why it happened the day it did, because it was in the middle of a press tour for his book and it was in the middle of a storyline that they were pushing. So I'm glad that everyone is able to put that aside and help him get the help he needs. And he was able to realize that as well. That's usually a big thing. People put off getting that because they feel they have to continue what they were doing and don't want to let others down. So I'm glad that was able to help. And I hope he comes back in a better place. And I really want to read his book, but if the page on Kevin Dunn is how the book's going to be read, I might have to do an audiobook because I can't read that type of thoughts back and forth in incoherent senses.
Yeah. I will say we did get some samples of his book this past week, which I think really made me want to read it, to be honest with you. And that's exactly what it was intended.
Has anyone ever said anything good about Kevin Dunn?
Not that Kevin Dunn. No,
not that Kevin Dunn. He's had that job for over 30 years. Has anyone ever said anything good about dealing with him?
It's one of the few things that people agree with Jim Cornette about is how much Kevin Dunn sucks. So
if you guys don't know what we're talking about, there's a page of from John Moxley's book out there, and in the page it talks about how he was forced to apologize to Kevin Dunn over something. I'm not sure exactly the incident that happened, but
when he won the title, he accidentally mouthed an F-bomb and doesn't remember doing it. And he apologized backstage as soon as he was told about it, and everything was supposed to be cool. And then Kevin Dunn, a couple days later, decided everything wasn't cool, made him come out to the production truck and apologize to every single person on the crew for doing it. And then he was still wasn't good enough of an apology.
Yeah. He said he found out that after he had done that he sent a message to somebody and said that it wasn't good enough still.
You're saying Kevin Dunn would not have been happy with Eddie Kingston's promo last night, where every time he started to lower the mic from his mouth, he's just like, I don't think this is a good example again of all the things that people talked about, like AEW, being just a good supportive company. Everybody's talked about what they've done to honor John and all that stuff. And I think this is another thing where I also want to give credit to the fans, because like there are plenty of toxic fan bases in the history of pro wrestling and stuff too, but Punk said what he said and the fans were totally behind it. And I just think it's a more healthy culture than we've seen in other companies or in other time frames in wrestling or whatever. So wish the best for Mox. I think it's good to see the way that it's being handled. And, you know, also for him being okay with it being public, I think is a big deal, because it can help other people realize that maybe they should get help with it and stuff like that. So I just think back to incidents with other wrestlers over the years, whether it's WWE or TNA or stuff like that, where it would just turn into a big joke or chant, you know, out of the negative variety, stuff like that. And it's nice to see the support that he's getting with us. So
with such a top star making it out there to make himself so vulnerable in this situation, it was handled just about as perfectly as possible.
And Mox is honestly, he's not a guy who likes to do interviews. It's obvious. And I mean, and I thought maybe this happened from an incident while he was doing this book tour or whatnot. I've read some of the quotes that he's been doing for this book tour, and it's, you know, his language is, he's eloquent in painting with swear words, we'll say. Okay.
Proficient in profanity.
Yeah. He's profane. Yeah. Steal that from Christmas Story. He definitely, and the thing is, he's honest, and that's who he is, but he doesn't like to do a lot of interviews. And so maybe there's a lot of pressure on him and he just like had a breaking point or something. It's good that he's getting help for himself. And, you know, we like him. And I've always known that he seems like a guy who just doesn't like to do interviews, you know, and probably doesn't, you know, he seems like he's very to himself too a lot. So, I'm glad that they're moving. He's moving back to home in Ohio. They're moving to, you know, him and Renee and the baby. So, and he's just getting himself straightened out. But it's a shame, because he was the guy who was, I think, deemed to win this little tournament. And I can imagine, you know, what we would have gotten with a Daniel Bryan. Did you always try to, you know, play out some of these matchups? You know, did this ever happen in the other companies? We're always trying to think through my head, you know, do we ever see these guys wrestle for another company, you know, when they were in the other company, you know, like Miro and
Daniel? We definitely saw Bryan and Rusev. I know that for sure.
Yeah.
Credit. It shouldn't have to be a big decision, but credit to AEW for being able to be like, okay, like we're gonna like allow you to do this right now and all this stuff, and it's gonna mess up a lot of our plans, but life priorities are bigger than wrestling storylines and tournaments and stuff like that. So and honestly, I didn't really care about it getting to Moxley and Danielson, if I'm being completely honest. I also don't really care about Danielson and Miro. Like, it'll be good, but it's just not, like I've said before, it's not the match that I want. I want the things that I haven't seen before. I want some of the matches we've gotten on TV in recent weeks with Punk and Danielson and Cole facing people that we haven't seen them with before. But I'm happy that AEW can just be like, go focus on yourself, John Moxley. And like, There's a spot for you when you come back, and you know when he does come back, it's going to be a great reaction and it's going to be a big deal, and he'll probably be more popular than ever.
Yeah, I think so. And yeah, I agree 100%. And I think they are a great company. And, you know, you mentioned I do want to see some different matchups. And, you know, I've enjoyed, you know, I mean, I talked about it last week. Daniel Bryan says he doesn't need to wrestle every week, but son of a gun, this guy is wrestling every show. And it's like, I love how he doesn't want to pin anybody anymore. He wants them to tap out. So he's doing different, you know, submission holds to win the matches and stuff. But what about, we got John Silver last night and,
Pudge.
Yeah. And, I thought that was a lot of fun because, you know, we got the Young Bucks kiss during it that went to commercial break when they were doing that. But I thought that was a fun match, and it was like, you know, it really put over, I just thought it was, you know, I'm glad they started with it too. And it was a fun night last night, actually, of AEW Rampage. You know, I think we get quality matches on that show, and they only get an hour, which is amazing. They did talk a little bit about this past week about moving Dynamite to TBS. I've seen some talk about it in the, and how they TBS execs feel that this will not do anything to the viewership as we go hockey for TNT next year. But I'm going to talk a little bit about AEW because we didn't really get too much about them. We did get a list of what's going to be on their show on Wednesday. Oh, is it worth talking about what Samurai Del Sol said and got criticized for? I do have opinions on this. So if you watched this past week, on Dynamite, we had the debut of Kalisto, who used to be in WWE as Kalisto. Now he's Samurai Del Rio or something like that.
Samurai Del Sol.
Del Sol, that's it. Yeah, and he came out. I thought he had a great match, and obviously he looks exactly like he did in WWE. And then he posted something about, you know, unfortunately, and I've done this before too, so it's not the first time I've ever seen it. But he was remembering his friend John Huber and spelled his name wrong, and Chris Jericho kind of called him out for it. I don't know. I mean, you know, what do you guys think about that? He did post, you know, because it was his first match, and you know, he was thinking about his friend, and they were friends, I guess. They worked together for many years in WWE. So, but he spelled his name wrong. Is that something to get upset about?
It's a tough situation. I didn't love the, this is tough. Yeah. All right. If somebody means a lot to you, you probably know how to spell their name. I've over the years called out, like, I remember people having like Bret Hart's number one fan signs in the crowd, and there were two T's on Bret. Or people who would do the same thing for Britney Spears, but it would be ANY and stuff like that. It's not the biggest deal in the world. I appreciate people showing respect. There's been some people who've like kind of questioned the level of friendship and things like that. And I don't think it was needed for Jericho to call it out. But I also didn't love the misspelling, if I'm going to be honest. And I know that's not super popular to say, but like, I can recall many times where John Huber specifically would talk about an unnecessary H in John.
Yep.
That's not part of the sound, whatever, things like that. Like,
yep.
That came up a lot of times in conversation. So obviously more in a joking sense, whatever, but I don't know. I just don't, for Jericho to be the one to call it out, it's just like, okay, like, but what about your wife storming the Capitol? No, sorry. I
didn't. Did Jericho and Kalisto have a fight backstage at one point when they were with a different company? And I think there's still some hostilities in that. So,
huh, interesting. But Jericho also spelled Eddie, E-D-D-Y, I've seen, you know, someone posted
that. Which is the way Eddie spelled it.
That's the way Eddie spelled it.
Yeah. I don't know. The whole thing is very strange. I have liked some of Aerostar's stuff as well, and like AAA and Circus and things like that. I didn't love that match. Like, there were good parts to that tag match Wednesday, but I thought it was a little sloppy too. It wasn't a match where I was like, oh man, I need them to bring back this tag team on a regular basis.
It was like almost like a super tryout sort of. It's the feeling I got about it, because it's like, you know, you don't see a lot of debuts before like maybe Dark or anything like that being on national TV. But these guys, you know, I don't know. It was you know, it was done with love, and so I kind of give him a pass. I'll give Kalisto a little bit of a pass.
He should stick to doing good lucha stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Where's the trampoline when he's going into the ring?
I didn't need to see the lucha chants on AEW. Like, let that die. Like, it's just, I don't know. Some of that stuff is just. You mentioned Dark. I did not like CM Punk saying like, "Oh, you should be on this should be on Dark or Elevation or whatever." Like putting down his own company and stuff. Like, just because you're not going to work those shows doesn't mean that it's not like an important piece for some other people. Not that those shows are great, whatever. But I don't know.
Oh, I agree. I thought it's tough when you're taking a shot at somebody by you know using your own company to take that shot.
That's how you're going to get that crowd reaction. Those oohs, like,
yeah,
I mean, cause it did get that reaction, but I didn't love that. The one other thing you mentioned really quickly, I loved the Silver Cole match. I like what they've been doing. And I like last week's Halloween match was super entertaining with the costumes and all that stuff. I wish that's what we were leading to at the pay-per-view. I don't want to see the Bucks and Cole against Jurassic Express and Christian Cage. Like, again, like, I'm so over that. Like, we all know that Jungle Boy is the future and this and that, whatever, and he's great. But, like, I don't care about seeing that match in a week. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm in, like, a very small minority with that. But I'm over the Bucks and Jurassic Express at this point.
No, I agree with you, especially considering what they've been doing with the Dark Order and Elite is much better than the actual rivalry that they're trying to focus on. So when you have two separate feuds and it's leading to a different one, which isn't as good as the other one.
Yeah.
It hurts the one they're trying to push.
No. Yeah. You know,
I mean, a Dark Order, I guess maybe we'll have an appearance maybe at the end of the pay-per-view next week or something, but like, I wish they were a little more involved in terms of the card, the matches.
I mean, John Silver is probably one of my favorite wrestlers right now in the business. Super entertaining. I mean, he's good in the ring too, but he's a funny guy. I mean, if you watch him on Being the Elite, it's just so damn entertaining.
I just want to see Luchasaurus kip up. That's it. You know, I mean, that's all I need to see in that match, you know, you know, but yeah, no, I agree. And there, you know,
it's the simple things for cash.
I know. Well, you know, Vince, because if you can't do it, you're not going to get hired by WWE. Oops, wrong company. No,
he's already left there. So
yeah, I was going to say I think he was doing it there too, when he was in NXT as well. You know, a big guy. I just like seeing a big guy that big. He's like Drew McIntyre size doing it. And Drew can do it too, because he does it. He tries to work one in every once in a while too. But
I remember like the 90s when like, what was it? Shawn Michaels did it. And everybody's like, "Oh my God." And now, if you can't do that, like, you're not allowed to be like a big time wrestler. Like, everybody can do it.
I think Michaels is the first guy that I ever saw do it.
What was the dude's name? Danger, that was from town here, that because he couldn't do it, they wouldn't let him go to Tough Enough.
Mayhem.
Yeah. So there was a guy, a local wrestler, Mayhem, who actually went to the tryouts when they were in Vegas. And it was the second year, I think, of Tough Enough, or maybe the third. I can't remember. But he was mad because he couldn't kip up. And Jim Ross said that if you want to be a superstar, you got to be able to do that. Every single superstar can do that.
Which is the dumbest thing. Why would you need to? You don't need to do that. There's other ways to quickly get up and continue with a match. Like,
if everyone does something, it's no longer special.
Yep.
That's true. That's true. And I remember Mayhem came back and he said we wanted to kill Bob Holly too after that. So I remember we were talking to him. So that was a long time ago. We're talking like the beginning of
I wonder what happened to Mayhem. I haven't heard that name in so long.
Yeah, yeah. He was a local wrestler. Really, really. He had a lot of potential. And I mean, Mad Dog was his manager. So I mean, so let's move on a little bit to some other news. Tony Khan this week was on, what's WON? Where is that, a radio show?
Wrestling Observer.
Oh, it's Wrestling Observer, of course. He was on that, and he said that the impact in AEW crossover is not done, but right now there's nothing on paper for anything soon. But he enjoyed doing it, and he felt it was, you know, it was good working with them, and he'll do it again sometime. So I think that's a good sign, because it seemed like it was done, and it pretty much is for a while, when Christian lost the belt at Bound for Glory 2 weeks ago. They are, though, building up a huge, you know, but now that Moose is the champion, I watched this past week, and they're really trying to, they're selling another Impact Plus pay-per-view in another week or so, where he's going to have the rematch for the title.
Two quick questions with this is, are the Good Brothers are just gone from AEW? I'm guessing, because this crossover is kind of done and they've just disappeared.
Yeah.
And part two, where the heck is Don Callis?
It's a good question. I think, I have a feeling next time we see Omega come out, maybe he'll be with them again. I'm pretty sure that he lost his gig with Impact, but he's now working for AEW. I thought that's right. What I heard. So
I think so too. But like, if Callis is not back in time for Omega to lose the belt a week from today, then I don't think there's a point in bringing him back after that. Like, if you haven't explained why he's gone and he's not part of this huge part in storyline and everything, it's very strange to me. Then again, there's also part of me that hopes, I can't believe I'm saying this, but there's part of me that hopes that Omega does not lose in a week, because I still don't think we're at the build-up point that we need to be for that match. And it's all about the chase for a babyface like Adam Page, and I don't feel like there's much of a chase there right now. And once he gets the belt, where does he go from there? I don't know.
So it's a good question.
10 months ago, I would have been really excited for him to win. I hope I feel differently a week from now.
But you saw how they booked Paige last week. He came out and he was like the guy who finished the fight. You know, he came out and he's the last guy out and emptied the ring and everyone ran from him. So,
yeah. And I mean, I like the comment about like, you've got 10 days to hold that belt or whatever. Like, yeah. I think previously with this feud and the ongoing storyline with those two, like it was just so much better before Hangman went away. And now it feels like you're kind of just rushing into this match and rushing to the end result that we know is happening at some point. But I don't feel like there's enough there right now for it to mean as much now as it would have meant 6 months ago or something. I don't know.
Well, I said it, I think last week and the week before, that Adam Page has already lost once to Kenny Omega for this title. So, I mean, you know, which was dumbfounding, because that's when Kenny Omega was in that stretch of everyone he took on, he beat, you know, and he still, you know, I mean, he did the first time he lost, I think I've ever seen him lose, at least with AEW, is when Christian beat him for the Impact title. I think Moxley, didn't he lose to Moxley too in the beginning when they had that the very first show where, remember, he spiked suplexed him through the glass table. They had a match after that.
I'm pretty sure that was a no contest.
Was it a no contest? Okay. Yeah. I think
pretty sure he lost to Pac at like,
yeah, was I think
first that, full gear or something.
I think that was his only singles loss in AEW before. Yeah.
Okay.
But just going back to the Don Callis thing real quick, for someone who had such an integral part in Omega winning the title and also his whole entire reign, pretty much, his absence is kind of eerie, considering you figure he would have more involvement in, you know, probably the lead up to him potentially losing the title. So it is weird not seeing Callis on TV with Omega.
No, oh, yeah, it does. It may, you know, I who knows? I mean, but it seems like once the Impact thing ended, maybe that's why they stopped having him come out for a couple weeks. But I think he's still, I mean, I'm pretty sure he's still around, maybe, you know. I guess we'll find out. You got a pay-per-view, was a week from Saturday? Two weeks from today? Yep. A week from today?
1 week from today.
1 week from today. Yeah. So we got a week to build up this week, you know, to get a pay-per-view in and everything. We got. By the way, I want to thank everybody for the comments. Michael said Don Callis is still under AEW contract and will be back soon. Dante, I don't know.
There's got to be more to that story, though. Like, I believe that he's still there, and I believe that he'd be coming back, but why is he gone?
Was like paperwork up or something? He had to go back to Canada for a little bit. Honestly, that could be it. Who knows? It's weird that he hasn't been up.
Yeah.
Well, and especially for AEW, because that's a company that tends to acknowledge things and not hide from if there's certain reasons, whatever. Like, you'd think they would acknowledge it in some capacity, at least keep his name out there so people would expect him to come back or whatever the case is. I do think like AEW did a good job of like Wednesday being a really push the pay-per-view and the storylines and the matches coming up and stuff like that. I'm not crazy about the card they have for Dynamite coming up this Wednesday. But I mean, it's just, I don't know. Like it's starting to feel a little random with some of this stuff. Well, I don't know if last night had the same.
Well, think about this. Danielson wrestled some. I mean, he's waiting for wrestle the pay-per-view for this chance to be the number one contender or whatever. And it's second show in a row he's wrestling someone who's not involved in this whatsoever. It's kind of like he's like he's treading water while you know, waiting for this match to come down. You know, he's taking on Rocky Romero this week. So, but there's the Pac and Dax Harwood are going to be wrestling Britt Baker.
Like, James, where did that come from? Like Rocky Romero coming in is cool. I like that. And like Lee Moriarty is going to have that tag match, though stupid Leo Rush is in it. But like, I don't know. It just doesn't, like, I thought we were just in the point where like, we're finally really pushing this pay-per-view. And now we have all these random matches with people who won't be on the pay-per-view. It's like, oh, we just got to rotate them in on TV so people don't completely forget about them when they're not on full gear. I don't know.
I mean, at least Pac and Harwood make some sense. I mean, Pac.
Well, they called them out. They called out Pac in a backstage interview last week. Yeah. So, you know, when they were holding their AAA tag titles.
No, it leads into that.
The tag
title match at the pay-per-view. Yeah.
So that might make a little sense. I don't know about Leo Rush and Dante Martin. I don't know where they're going with that. I think they're trying, and I'll give them credit for trying. And Dante Martin really is quite an impressive wrestler. Started as a tag guy, but, you know, so we got that. And, Britt Baker, Jamie Hayter, and Rebel, Ty Conti, Anna Jay, Thunder Rosa. I don't know. I don't think we get enough of the women. I think, you know, unfortunately, they've been a casualty of all the new signings, which we mentioned many weeks ago, so...
Is that the battle of the booty match?
Yeah, I was going to say, we've got six women that they get into one match. So it's like instead of having a couple matches with women. So we're gonna get out of here soon. I do have a few pieces of news I want to go through real quick. I want to send our best out to Danhausen. Danhausen last weekend broke both bones in his leg. He broke. It was at Next Generation Wrestling in Tennessee last Sunday, and he was tagging with Warhorse, and he broke both his fibula and tibia in his leg. He had to have surgery this past week. And, you know, Danhausen, because of what happened in Ring of Honor, probably doesn't have a wrestling contract right now. You know, if you don't know who Danhausen is, he's a guy that would pour teeth into people's mouths in Ring of Honor. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's not to say that's
he's not the best wrestler in the world. Like, he can wrestle good matches, but he is in competition for the most entertaining person in wrestling.
Oh, he
is. Check out his YouTube page. You know, if you want to support him, you know, he's got a Patreon page. Check out his, you know, pro wrestling tees. Mance Warner as well. I mean, he broke his leg at the same event. You know, if you really want to support these guys who don't have contracts right now, you know, check out their stores.
Yeah, actually, Mance broke his leg against Fandango. Or, I'm sorry, Dirty Dango. That's who he was wrestling. So he had a couple injuries. But Danhausen right now, he does have a GoFundMe if you want to throw some money at his way. He's a guy who you might remember was on TBS was a talk show host. Conan O'Brien. He was on the Conan O'Brien Be My Friend podcast. Or something like
very
that.
Very entertaining.
Yeah, it was. It was great. He's like
Conan needs a friend or something.
Yeah, Conan needs a friend. It was really good and got him a lot of exposure. And I mean, Danhausen kind of talks in the third person about himself, you know, and very rockish in that way. But I very entertaining.
He cracks me up every day, one way or another. So send him sacks of money.
Yes. Yes. Danhausen, he's a good dude, and hopefully we'll see. I mean, I loved it when there was a picture from a couple weeks ago from the Jericho Cruise where it was him, Orange Cassidy, Chris Jericho, and
Will Ospreay,
the jumper, they're all doing Orange Cassidy with the sunglasses and stuff, and it was,
there's
even.
A- there's a good shot of that on Evil Uno's vlog this week from the Jerry Crew. So if you want to see any of it, check out Evil Uno's vlog on YouTube.
Yeah, but Danhausen is good people, and he's going to will be. I'm sure he'll get a job sometime in the future. I mean, obviously, if it was WWE, they'd have to do everything different, and it wouldn't get over. But AEW probably could bring him in and do some stuff as Danhausen, you know. So, we send our best out to him. He definitely is a good egg in this business. And, you know, he's got, you know, breaking your leg and having surgery kind of sucks. So hopefully, you know,
especially sucks because he's got a, he's been traveling back and forth. Like he's from Michigan, but his wife and like stepdaughter are in Montreal. And so like now he had the surgery yesterday, but like the rehab and all that stuff is like going to be in the States. So he can't even like go back and forth with that and stuff. At least he's still going to be doing some signings and appearances and all his insanely entertaining YouTube videos and stuff like that, that at least in his circumstance, he can still stay very relevant doing the same stuff he's been doing to be popular, even if he's on crutches or sitting on his couch, or whatever, because like I said, I don't even need him to wrestle necessarily. Like if he came into AEW, I'd be happy about that, but I wouldn't even necessarily need him to have matches. Like he could do commentary, he could do skits, whatever. I think he might fit better with Impact, but one way or another, I really hope he ends up in one of those places when he's ready to come back.
And he's got such a big fan base where he's going to get the support and he's going to stay relevant because people love Danhausen.
Well, and the amazing thing is the T-shirt he's selling to make some money has him with a cast on his leg sitting on a bed in a hospital, and that's the picture. And
so they got hurt on Halloween, if I remember right, was when that show was. And like, so then you see video clips from the hospital where it's Danhausen in his paint, or well, not in his human makeup, as he would say.
Yeah.
But then Warhorse is taking the video, who has his face paint on and all this stuff. They're like, if it was not Halloween and you worked in that hospital and you just turn the corner and you're like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
Danhausen always has that. Even if he's home in his apartment, he'll have that makeup on, you know, if he's doing anything on his social media. He's definitely entertaining, and we send our best out to him. We'll keep you updated on what's going on. There was a thing came out this week that AEW is going to have a special Dynamite on TNT in the first week. It's going to be a special.
Yeah, January 8th. It's called Battle of the Belts. It's going to be their first quarterly special of the year. That was one of the things that they were talking about in the transition over to TBS. That TNT was still going to get 4 quarterly specials. And this is going to be the first one, January 8th.
Yeah, and so it's going to be kind of like the Clash of the Champions that WCW used to do. So they can build it up like a pay-per-view, but put it on free TV, and it's going to be a Saturday night. So that's very cool that we're going to get it right out the chute for the year, you know. I mean, we got a WWE pay-per-view on January 1st, and then we got this like, 7 days later.
Speaking of WWE pay-per-views real quick, we're 2 weeks out from Survivor Series, and there's no card. I don't know what I'm seeing when I go yet.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there, and I have no clue what's going on.
Well, that's your fault for buying a ticket.
Yeah, you know what?
I have aspirations of hitting the Big Four, so, I mean, I had to get it done. It's close.
It's a shame they're not treating it like a Big Four, because if we have no card yet and it's 2 weeks away.
Let's be honest. They stopped caring about Survivor Series years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And then when they probably had the best Survivor Series with NXT and then decided to take them off the following year, after they're actually on TV, like, we know they don't care then.
Well, I will say that they tried to dump the pay-per-view name 1 year, and that's really what drew a lot of attention to it. I remember it was like, I don't remember, it was like 2008, I think, or 2009. They actually did not have it on the schedule, and people were like, what? You can't be putting Mercy on, no Mercy on, when it's supposed to be, you know, Survivor Series.
I mean, at this point, Money in the Bank's a bigger deal.
Why? Because we get Money in the Bank every other pay-per-view anyways, you know? There's going to be a Money in the Bank match, you know?
They're going to be in
the stadium.
I haven't
cared about the Big Four since it was the Classic Five.
Yeah, I was going to say the only one, you know, really...
Rest in peace, King of the Ring.
It's got to be...
The real King of the Ring.
You just got to... It's only two for me, and that's the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, and that's about it. Now, everything else, SummerSlam never seems to affect much. They think it's the biggest thing in the world, but to me, it doesn't really affect much. I'm not like WrestleMania or Royal Rumble does. So, I don't want to argue about it, but the Ferbs is great. You're going to be there. You can do like some on-site reporting, man. Well, you know, where's it at? It's in Brooklyn, right?
It's in Brooklyn. Yeah. So I'm going to do the podcast and then literally leave right afterwards. So I'll be there around like 8 o'clock on Saturday. And then Sunday I'll be there for the show and drive back Monday. But yeah, it'll be interesting. And I'll probably walk around Brooklyn all day on Sunday and then go to the show and enjoy me some beverages while I tolerate the mini wrestlers I see from my seat in the ring
and in the crowd too, with all the cuts recently.
I got a bar hookup for you, Furby. College friend of mine opened a place in Brooklyn.
Where? Shoot me the address.
And then I go to Spumoni Gardens for pizza before that or after that.
Shoot me the address. I'm a big pizza guy, so I do all those reviews.
Tell you a funny story. Last weekend, a buddy, I do a derby podcast called Derby Rocks, and my partner was down in New York City last weekend for Halloween, and they had like this Halloween parade. I guess it's a big thing every year. And Ice-T and Coco were there, and they were just dressed up in costume walking around. So you never know who you're going to see when you're in New York City, you know?
True.
So two pieces of news to be, and then we're going to get out of here. Zoe Stark scheduled to have surgery soon. She had this injury attack on NXT this past week backstage. She had suffered a knee injury. We don't know how long it's going to be. Danger Boy, this piece of news is going to be for you, because you should not be making fun of Dana Brooke. Okay. Or her husband, her fiance, Dana Brooke. She's currently trending on social media due to her fiance getting arrested on battery charges in Miami-Dade County, Florida. Brooke's fiance, pro boxer Ulysses Diaz, allegedly showed up at the home of a man who had been posting about him on social media. Diaz then struck the man in the face, according to police. He was arrested on a battery charge and locked up in jail for $5,000. So remember the times when we used to say those terrible things about Dana Brooke, Danger?
Watch out, Corey Graves.
Don't feed her after midnight.
Yeah. All. The gremlin thing. Yeah. She's like the girl gremlin from Gremlins 2. Yeah. Yeah. Just don't watch. If you ever see a guy named Ulysses around you, I would beware, because he apparently doesn't like criticism or anything, and he'll come up and punch you. He'll find you and punch you. And on that note, I think it's time for us to end the show this week. So I want to thank you, DC. Thank you, Rob. The Artiste, thank you, Furby, thank you, Danger, and thank you guys all in the chat room for keeping me on top of everything. And we're gonna continue. I wish I had a bigger phone, because my phone, it only does like a couple of comments at a time, but there's been like dozens and dozens of them today. So tell your friends about it. We'll be back, of course, the same, you know, next Saturday at 10 a.m. and and also this show will be on cable access 1301 in Irondequoit. We're on there if you ever want to see what we look like in the video, or if you know, since you're on the chat, you know what we look like. But all right, we do have potential of going back on the radio sometime soon, so we'll keep you updated. But I want to thank you guys. Have a great week, and we're gonna get out of here, folks.